Well, please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, we have been doing a series on the songs of ascents, and by God's providence, we are working through them. We recently looked at Psalm 125, but seeing that we have this occasion of baptism this morning, we will skip ahead to Psalm 127. And then, Lord willing, return to Psalm 126 at the appropriate time. But let us focus our attention this morning on Psalm 127 for our reading and also for the message. Hear now God's holy word, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. Well, please open your Bibles once again to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, as we'll be looking at that psalm, in particular focusing on the last part of it, verses 3 to 5. But we will be speaking from the entire psalm, which will be our text. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you were listening to the reading of God's word this morning, did it sound familiar to you in any way? Did it sound like another book in the Bible? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early. Does that sound familiar in any way to you? Doesn't it remind us of the words of Ecclesiastes? When you think of King Solomon, who was the writer of that particular book, you know how Solomon was always so concerned to bring that out in that book, how there's vanity, how there's a chasing after the wind, if you're not fearing God and keeping his commandments, then there's that emptiness, there's that frustration in life. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Well, that's what Solomon starts to speak of here in this psalm, which is included in this collection of the songs of ascents. And what is the point of all this? Well, the underlying assumption is that if you expend much energy, effort, and work yourself to death, if you do that without making the Lord your focus, without remembering that it's the Lord who's the one who needs to bless you, then it is totally vain. And he says that because sometimes we get so busy and we forget the one who is behind the things that we do. The Lord has to be behind what we do. And that's not only true of our labor, it's also true of our families. Certainly true when it comes to covenant children. As God's people made their way, as they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the feast day worship times, they gratefully sang about the blessings of work and family. We want to especially take note of their gratefulness for the family, which is very fitting for us this morning. especially during this Thanksgiving weekend, we're thankful for the gifts that have been given. The gift of life, the gift of Kelvin and of Victoria, they are gifts of the Lord. And they're entrusted to the Buse and the Melgards for their safekeeping and nurture. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is to be given that calling and that responsibility. So I call you then to hear God's word under that theme, the pilgrim's motto, unless the Lord builds the house. And we'll look at this passage with 2 points. First of all, looking at the fact that children are an inheritance. And secondly, children are a blessing. So first of all, children are an inheritance. One of the things that really stands out in this psalm is that it is written countercultural. It's written countercultural. It's against the values and the norms of our society. That comes to the forefront in a number of different ways. You know, in the minds of abortionists, our offspring are nothing more than a blob of tissue. The child in the womb is not a person with a soul, not someone who is created in the image of God. And thus we have in our day the terrible sin of legalized abortion. There's no law in Canada at present that protects human life. We can dispose of human life by terminating a pregnancy. And there's a reason for that in people's minds. There's no God. There's no creator. There's no one accountable that they are to be accountable to. There's no God to give an account. And thus people live loosely with their morals. And children conceived are not seen for what they are. They're easily disposed. Now there was actually a story in the paper along these lines in the Winnipeg Free Press regarding the number of foster kids. Maybe some of you read that this past week. According to a report from Family Services, there are a total number of over 10,000 foster children in foster homes and shelters and in group homes. And that number is up, according to the report, from last year, which was around 9,000. That's a very sad figure, and it portrays that the brokenness of our society and the number of uncared for children. Also, in the minds of many in our culture, this is another area that this psalm addresses. Work and family are separate categories. We live in compartments. You have work, you know, you have your career, that's over here. And then when it comes to care of family, well, that's over here. It's totally separate, that the two are not seen together. In fact, some jobs don't promote family life at all. And the reason for this is because society is consumed with the here and now. However, this is not the case in this psalm. Family and work are mentioned together because both coexist. The Jew would say, why is this house being built if it's not for the family? Why is this city being watched over if it is not for families? Or like the Proverbs 31 woman, her purpose is in running the home. She looks after the domestic. She works for the good of her family. Even the field that she purchases for her family, it's for the running of the home. That's why it's a very sad thing indeed when we see the breakdown of the family in our culture. For example, a man and a woman may choose to live together in a common law relationship, but the Lord is not the center. And that leads to an imbalance. The two of them have their career, they're driven by that, And when love dies, when the relationship crumbles, the couple parts ways. And what happens to the next generation? Well, that's why the psalm says, as it does this morning, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The Israelite mentality was not to be consumed with the here and now. They were not concerned about the immediate as much as they were concerned about the future. They thought about children as well as grandchildren and the generations after them. The family was the basic unit and the most important part of most important element in society. The only difference is the Jew knew this, where we in our society have lost it. That's why it's important for you young people to make sure that you marry in the Lord, to follow God's pattern. His idea, his plan for couples is marriage in Christ. And his way of building up a society is through families. His purpose for us in our work is to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue it. There is, of course, forgiveness and restoration in Christ if we sin, but there is a reason why God made us the way that he did and wants us to follow his ways. And so the psalmist says here that, in particular, children are an inheritance. They're a heritage. They're living assets, you might say. And that says a lot about how we are to view our children. The world says children are just liabilities. They're just an extra burden. And it's enough for them to have just one or two. But that's just a lie from Satan. It's actually quite hard to have one. It's very hard to have none. I was listening to C.H. Spurgeon and the way that he spoke on this psalm. He gives a little bit of a personal testimony about this. He says, "Those who have no children bewail the fact. Those who have few children see them soon gone, and the house is silent, and their life has lost a charm. Those who have many gracious children, and upon the whole, are the happiest." Of course, he says, a large number of children means a large number of trials. But when they're met by faith in the Lord, it also means a mass of love and a multitude of joys. And he goes on to say, as he speaks of his own life, he was given by the Lord two children, and that was he was very thankful for that. But he said, you know, they've grown up, they've left the house, and, you know, in some ways I wish I could have had more. Children are a heritage of the Lord. And that says a lot to you today if you have been blessed with children. It also says a lot to you too, children, about how the Lord values you. This is speaking to you as well. This isn't just speaking to your parents. You need to think about that when you're growing up in your homes. God sees you not as a liability. God doesn't see you just as a problem. Yet you are an asset. You are especially a blessing, as this psalm will show, when you are a godly son and a godly daughter. And that way you are living up to the promise of this verse, when you love the Lord. And not only this, do we see this in this psalm when it speaks about inheritance. Solomon uses this imagery of arrows. It's a metaphor for war. This is the way that you think when you are surrounded by enemies. Just imagine what that would be like if we were to think of the modern day parallel of that. Imagine being in Ukraine, living there, or somewhere in Iraq or Syria. What would you do if you were surrounded by enemies? Well, you would build up your military. You know, you would make sure that you had stealth airplanes and tanks and better weapons. But Solomon has a better idea. He says children are like arrows. He does this to describe to us how they give security and protection in a godly family. Now, they certainly are not arrows immediately. And children certainly are not always a source of joy to their parents. That's why this analogy of arrows is so helpful. Because, you know, you think of Solomon's day, they didn't go out to the pro bass store to buy a crossbow and ammunition. No, you made your arrows. You formed them. And that obviously is something that takes time. It doesn't come right away. The progress of family growth is a slow progression. It's the way that God works. It's obviously something that takes time and patience and more patience. And we have to rely on the strength of the Lord to do this. As well as this, we can't expect Johnny to be an arrow if we're not disciplining them. If we're not chastening our children, if we're not correcting them. If you don't correct Johnny when he's young, Johnny's going to grow up to be a pain in the neck. It takes the faithfulness of a godly father and a godly mother to shape our children into arrows so that they might be a blessing for the future. And that's exactly what Solomon had in mind. He's thinking of the future and how the next generation will bring blessing. The thing is, God entrusts us with an inheritance. We don't make babies. We receive them. They are a blessing given to us. And what does that say to you about your own children? How do you view them? Are they too many mouths to feed? Are they there for you to produce cheap labor? Are they simply a nice tax deduction, you know, where you can receive some bonuses from the government through social programs? Or are you diligent with your time, diligently working for the Lord's kingdom and for His purpose? We're called to trust in the Lord and to thankfully receive these blessings as gifts. Not to worship them, not to put them on a pedestal, but to see them as assets. That's a great encouragement to us. That's a great encouragement to those who have lost children. As we confess in Article 17 of the first head of Doctrine and the Canons of Dort, we ought not to doubt the salvation of those who are taken from this life, for children of believers are holy, not by nature, but by virtue of the covenant. We believe that they are with the Lord. That's an encouragement to know that all children are gifts to us. Even if we can only have one, that's a gift. And this is also a word of caution to us. Solomon is writing as someone who is an ancient. But really, he's speaking to the problems of today. What is going to ensure your future? How do you avoid the trap of the world that's so consumed with the here and now? Well, you don't do it by becoming a workaholic. You know, where you work and work and work and work. You can work your tail off. But that's not going to ensure where your future is going to go. Nor are we to lay back and do nothing. We're not to be lazy slackers. We have a responsibility to use our time wisely and to be faithful to the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord. We cannot raise our families without the Lord. If it's foolish to build a house without God, then it's even greater folly to raise a family without God. We must seek God's help in everything that we do in order to raise our children well. We need to pray for them, to teach them the Bible, to bring them to church, to set an example before them of what it really means to live before the Lord. For that is our motto as well. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless He is with us, we cannot. But if we do trust the Lord, all the work expended on our families will not be worthless. It will be a blessing. And that brings us to our second point, the second thing that we do see within this psalm, and that is that children are a blessing. And we see this further in this analogy that Solomon uses about the fruit of the womb being a great reward. That's a metaphor from farming, from agriculture. Whenever there was a multiplication of flocks and herds, that was considered a great blessing. Like you think of Abraham, who was considered to be a wealthy man because he had many flocks and herds and livestock. In the same way, children are the fruit of the womb. They're being brought into the world as image bearers of God. Their bodies and souls representing Him. And so to the abortionist, human life is not just an object. These babies who are here with us this morning are not just masses of tissue. Nor are they just a biological process. No, both little Calvin and little Victoria are made in the image of God. They're human beings. And we as Christians bear fruit on the basis of our faith in the Lord. As God says to us in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. Psalm 127 even goes beyond that. It says that we are to raise and nurture our children. And this says something to those who live in common law, without the bond of marriage and without the Lord. What does that say to them? Well, God says to us that when a man and a woman marry in the Lord, they become what? They become one flesh. And it's amazing how from that love for one another, God brings about the fruit of children through their love. From that one flesh relationship comes the conception and birth of new life, which is the fruit of the womb. That says something also to us about adoption. Adoption is the answer to the sin of abortion. Adoption is the answer to the number of unwanted children who have no homes, as Christian homes are opened up to them. They then are brought into this very beautiful marriage covenant that the Lord has established and where they can be nurtured in the faith. How about you as parents? Do you love your children? Do you see your children as a mistake? Or a burden? Aren't we, according to these words of Solomon, by the inspiration of the Spirit, supposed to see them as a blessing? And they also are our future. That comes out in verse 5. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemy in the gates. The idea is there that the Hebrew men, they met together at the gates, and the man's sons would come with him. They would have no hesitation to give an account of their life so that the mouths of the wicked would be shut. It's an imagery here of God being the warrior king. How he will carry out his kingdom. How he will conquer. And he does that through Jesus Christ. He will also do this through Christian families. We as Christian families are in a war. The modern day parallel of these words is our children growing up in ungodliness around us and all the pressures that are there. What a blessing it is when our children are able to stand up to these things, these pressures, and remain firm. Just think of the day that we live in. Many in our Western culture don't have children, and the birth rate is low in Western countries. And then we have those who are from other religions, like Muslims, having more children compared to those who are in other parts of the Western world. Well, these words are very true for our day when we consider what we face as Christian people. Christian parents can meet their enemy in the gate simply by raising up a godly seed. As we seek to raise up our godly seed to the Lord, may He help to raise them up that they would be strong arrows. Especially in this sad day when the family is so fragmented, when children are not valued as God's gifts and God's blessings. It's a tremendous witness, an example before the world to have a home that is filled with grace. If Christ is the center of your home, that's a great asset. They are your quiverful. Now that's not talking about, you know, a set amount of children. It's saying children are a means by which God will extend His kingdom. That helps us to understand what we're doing this morning with the sacrament of baptism. Why do we baptize our children? Well, we do it because God has extended a promise to them that He would be a God to them, as well as He has been to us. He's made a covenant with them. And it speaks to us of the blood of Christ. You think of what Jesus Christ did in coming into this world. Jesus never had children. He gave His life, died on the cross, and through that, He gained a family, sons and daughters. And that promise of Christ being our Savior is extended to them, as we see that in the water. But you know, it is sad in a way that we have this very beautiful psalm, a psalm that describes the blessing of family written by a wise man. Because you think of Solomon. Solomon, who had so many flaws, took in so many different wives, and how that led him away from the Lord. His own son and successor to the throne, Rehoboam, rejected wisdom. But even though Solomon didn't always live by his own words, these words are still true for us. And despite his sins, what do we see from his own line? We see Jesus Christ being brought into this world through this kingly line that was filled with sin. And that's a real encouragement to us as parents. When we fail and when we make mistakes, God's grace is still there. God's grace leads to repentance. There's still an opportunity for us to grow in this area of parenting. We need to mature in this. The question is this morning, are you seeing your children as assets? Are they a godly heritage to you? Are you training them as arrows? Are you preparing them for the future? May the Lord help us in this. And above all things, may we seek God's blessing on our families. Seek His blessing in building up our homes and in our daily work. For He is the one who's going to equip you for that work. And when He builds your house, and your home life, then you can be assured that in Him you will be strong. Amen.